Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Welcome, welcome. It's all about courtship and marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil, and we are here every Tuesday evening at 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, exploring topics pertaining to courtship and marriage. Our objective is to strengthen and increase our knowledge, increase our skill sets when it comes to relationships, managing expectations, and how to be successful in marriage, how to be successful in building relationships. And we're all students here, including myself. Allah has blessed me to learn so much throughout this process of hosting this show. And Allah blesses me at every step of the way by increasing me in knowledge and wisdom as we strive to assist others and ourselves throughout this process. So all praise is due to Allah, the Most High, for all that we gain, for all that we learn, and for all that we share. So we'll go ahead and get started and open up our program this evening. And as always, we open up with Al-Fatiha. And this is a dua for me. This is why I choose to open with Al-Fatiha. So praying for Allah's guidance and for blessings on us as individuals and the community life. So in Arabic, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. And in English, with the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Praise be to Allah, the cherisher and sustainer of the worlds, most gracious, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. Thee do we worship, and thine aid we seek. Show us the straight way, the way of those upon whom thou hast bestowed thy grace, not of those whose portion is wrath, nor those who go astray. Ameen. Ameen. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. Okay, so we'll get started with tonight's program. And I want to do a recap. For the past two shows, we are still working out of the book authored by Dr. P. Anisa Nadir, Before the Nikah, Proven Principles to Help Single or Non-Married Muslims Choose Wisely and Build Strong Marriages. All praises due to Allah. And last week, with the help of our dear sister Bina Muhammad Bia, we completed Chapter 8. Reflecting on the shows, Chapter 7 and 8 are very closely aligned. Chapter 7 was expectations and compatibility. And chapter 8 was how do you get to know your prospective spouse. These two chapters are very, very important. This is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to getting down to the brass tacks of a relationship. After the nikah, after the marriage, when we are together in our home, in our new home that we're trying to establish and getting to know each other, this is where it all comes together. This is what we have to begin to manage as a new couple. Okay, we come into relationships with our expectations and our vision, board for our marriage and everything. Now you're in this space with your spouse, and now you have to manage all these expectations. You have to manage compatibility levels and everything, and the practical work begins. The practical work begins in the relationship. And this is why we say that you don't really get to know each other. Until you start to live together, until you start to live together. During the courtship, we try and touch all the bases and get all the basics out of the way, and we look at our prospective spouse, and we get to know them as much as we can, and we get our references as much as we can, and we pray for Allah's guidance, and we make a decision and we go forward. We make a decision and we go forward. And making this decision with Allah's guidance, we really make a true arrangement with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we're going to accept this person as our spouse, as our husband, or if it's a male, as our wife, and we are going to operate by Allah's, what we understand of Allah's will, Allah's way, and Allah's plan for our relationship, for our family, for our married life, for our community life. And we are going to look at this prospective spouse as Allah's creation. And in doing so, we want to protect them, help them, encourage them, and practice all the good attributes that Allah instruct us to practice with each other, the mercy, the compassion, the encouragement toward all that is good, speaking a word directed to the right, the kindness, the support, the learning, the education, praying together, community concerns. We're going to practice this life, and we're going to do this together. So actually, as believers, we have a very good framework and a very good pattern of conduct established for us in our holy book, in our holy Quran, and with the model of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and how he modeled marriage in monogamy and polygyny. And we see all these attributes there. He was always teaching his wives and everyone else, okay? So he was always imparting a word to uplift and expand people and situations, always seeking to involve and elevate through using the Holy Quran. So we have very, very, very good pattern of conduct to follow and to model when it comes to marriage. So when we are in this period of now becoming very vulnerable in the same space with our new spouses, we have to remember those models and to seek Allah's guidance, continue to seek Allah's guidance, and continue to consult with the model of Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. Okay, so the seven talked about expectations and compatibility. And again, chapter 8 talked about how do you get to know your prospective spouse. So I want to dive into these topics a little more on this week's show. And I invite you along on this journey and welcome your participation in these topics as well, because this is where, at this point, when the relationship is brand new and we're being very vulnerable, you know, we have to be prepared to expect attacks from the shaitan to try and thwart our success, to try and discourage us from this blessed sacred union. And we have to develop muscles that will help us succeed. We have to develop these muscles really on the fly to help us succeed. So I want to talk about some realistic issues that we can and will face at this juncture and that we should be prepared for. Okay, so we're going to talk about that in our next segment, and we're going to ask you to stick and stay with us, and we're a little early, but we're going to go ahead and get our PSAs in so that we can get started on these very important topics this evening. Okay, so we're going to ask you to stick and stay with us, and we're going to be right back with you after these public service announcements. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. So we'll be right back with you. Please stick and stay.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you, the one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the Bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
And we are back, and you have joined us here on AM 360. It's all about courtship and marriage. I'm your host, Sister Munira Habil, and we're going to bring in our co-host who's been embarking on this journey with us as we present from the book by Dr. P. Anisa Nadir entitled Before the Nikah, and that will be Sister Bina Muhammad Bia, and we want to give her the greetings of Assalamu Alaikum to you and welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of this journey with you.
Okay, alhamdulillah, I appreciate it greatly, and your contribution is very, very valuable. Okay, so as I was saying earlier, I want to, on tonight's show, dive into chapter 7 and 8 a little more, because I think that there's some more that we can bring out on these two chapters, and I think it's very important for especially those who have went through the process of courtship and are now married and living in the same space, some of the realities that will come up, some of the issues that will come up I wanted to dive into it a little more and see if we can bring some more light to these two chapters in a practical way. So the first chapter 7 dealt with expectations and compatibility. Oh, and before I get started, Bina, did you want to say anything as far as these two chapters, 7 and 8, expectations and compatibility, and how do you get to know your prospective spouse? Did you want to do any recaps on those two chapters before we get started?
No, ma'am. You did an excellent job. I was listening in. I just hadn't pressed to one.
Okay.
I heard everything. And I think that's an excellent idea to get delve deeper into the chapter.
Okay. So dealing with expectations, you know, that's broad. It's a broad topic, right? What are you expecting from your prospective spouse? What are you expecting from the relationship? Just what are your expectations? And sometimes people are working these things out on the fly. They have an idea of what their expectations are. They may not have narrowed them down and written them down and ranked them of an order of importance or anything. So they have general idea, and they're just flowing with processes here. And we can get caught off guard doing things that way by not taking that time for introspection. So let's look at 10 realistic expectations in a relationship, okay, and see what are some healthy expectations in a relationship. And this is going to tie in to Chapter 8 as well, okay? And we've talked about these realistic expectations before program when we come together and how they are important to the true human essence of both people coming into a relationship, and it creates a foundation that you can operate off of and be able to solve any problems that come up if we cultivate these character traits within ourselves. And this is part of our marriage preparation as well. So number one is honesty, okay? And we did talk about honesty. And even looking into honesty, we can break that down to different types of honesty. You know, last week we used an example of some things that happened when a couple got together and got married, and a sister was caught off guard because of some cultural practices from someone that she married that she did not know about. So we have our financial honesty. We have our cultural honesty. If you got some practices that, you know, could be harmful or could be destructive in your culture, you know, letting someone know about that up front, you know, you should be obligated to do that and not shock a person by springing that on them after marriage. You have your honesty about your past, of who you are, your honesty about your future, your honesty about your present. So honesty is very, very, very broad when you begin to dissect it, But we can simplify it in a way by just being truthful. Being truthful when asked questions that are posed to us. Answer those questions truthfully to the best of your ability when engaging with a prospective spouse, okay? Don't hide. Don't minimize. be truthful with the answers that you give pertaining to questions when a person is trying to get to know you. Okay? Trust. Trust is number two. Trust is very important. And these qualities are all throughout our holy book. So they're not foreign to us, you know. Yeah, we trust in Allah. We trust Allah. We trust in Allah's word. We trust in Allah's will. We trust in Allah's plan. We trust that the sun will come up at exactly the right time. We trust that when we inhale, there's going to be air there to breathe in. You know, maybe, you know, whether fresh air or contaminated air or smoke-filled air, air is going to be there. We trust in Allah's process of creation. So trust is within us, and trust is a necessary part of being in a relationship, you know. And Allah tells us to hold on to the handhold that will never break. We hold on to Allah, who will never fail us. And Allah exemplifies through this process how important trust is. How important trust is when we need Allah, Allah is there. Allah is present, closer to us than our jugular vein. Okay? So being able to trust your prospective spouse with yourself, with being that close to you and your soul, your mind, your aspirations, your heart, your intellect, being able to trust someone to protect and help cultivate you, it's huge. It's huge as far as expectations go. And looking at their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a good indicator that you're safe to proceed, and how they honor what they know Allah wants from them, and how guardful the level of regard they have for that should be exemplified. Okay? Affection, being able to give affection, to nurture, you know. This was modeled by our Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and how affectionate he was with his wife, Khadija, Lady Khadija. May Allah be pleased with her in monogamy, and his wives in polygyny. He was affectionate toward them, gentle, kind, merciful, compassionate, showing all different levels of affection toward them, looking out for their well-being, not doing anything to cause them harm or injure them or hurt their feelings or make them feel less than. There's a hadith where Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, really admired the cooking of one of the members in the community, and a male who would invite Prophet Muhammad to come to eat. And but he would invite Prophet Muhammad and not his wife. I'm not sure if that, my memory that served me correctly, if that was Lady Khadija or Sister Aisha, but they loved that cooking as well. So Prophet Muhammad would not go alone. He would not go. He would deny the invitation unless his wife was also invited, because he didn't want to hurt her feelings and make her feel left out, because he knew she enjoyed this food as well. And I'm paraphrasing this hadith, but just to illustrate how attentive he was to making sure he did nothing to make his wife feel less than or diminished in any type of way or that he would operate in a way to not include her on important things that mattered to her. So we see all different types of models the Prophet Muhammad had when dealing with his wives and the compassion and mercy that he showed. So alhamdulillah, we can find numerous examples of this when we look for them. So this is why us reading and knowing and studying this is very important. It gives us more skills to use in our relationships with each other. Commitment. Commitment is another big one, right? And this is number four, commitment. Knowing you're going to stick and stay. I'm getting married. I'm sticking and staying. I'll be here when you get back. Okay? I'm sticking and staying. We can overcome. We shall overcome. I'm sticking and staying. We're going to work through this. Shaitan will not defeat us. We have the tools we need. We have Allah's guidance. We have good sound minds, right conduct, good intentions. And we know the value of this relationship and the value of marriage. And we're here to build and not destroy. Commitment, very, very important. Compassion. Number five, compassion. Having compassion. Being concerned, having compassion for the person that you're marrying. And just looking for opportunities just to be compassionate, to be merciful. This is all sadaqa. It's all sadaqa. It's all giving the good things in life and the good ingredients in the soup in this recipe that you are cooking up and this relationship that you're building. All these good ingredients that we're practicing and have an opportunity to practice every day is sadaqa, and it's a blessing in it for us. When we act in such a humane way toward our spouse, okay, and we're talking about expectations, okay, compassion. Number six is empathy. Empathy, being empathetic, not being the correct term, not being arrogant or judging of someone's shortcomings, but having empathy and looking past the shortcomings. And this is a big thing for us as African Americans because, and my husband DeLacy and I, we were talking about that. This among us as African Americans, we all have some type of trauma. We got trauma. There's no way you just come out of 400 years of oppression and they're still trying to oppress you and subversively in the society and not have some generational trauma to deal with. And we keep going, we keep trotting along, we keep plugging away, but underneath there's some stuff. There's some stuff, there's some trauma, and many times there's some recent trauma that is present, that is there, knowing that, you know, having empathy with your husband or wife is huge, very, very important. And knowing that this is a place of healing in this marriage. Respect. Respect. Respect that this person is Allah's creation. Allah's creation. And we are charged to respect Allah's creation and to be a khalifa for Allah's creation. Meaning we have to treat each other well and respect the person as Allah's creation. Respect the mind, the intellect, the heart, the soul, the physical body that Allah has created and its workings. All these things are foundational when it comes to our expectations for each other. And respect a process that Allah has created for us to operate with called Shura. In this instance, this is labeled compromise, but Shura Bainahum, taking Shura, looking at issues, looking at concepts in the framework of our holy book, of our holy Quran, and the examples of our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. And coming out with the best outcome is not what I want, is not what you want, it's what Allah wants of us. It's the best practice, which will produce the best result for us. So no big I's, no little U's, Shura. Everyone who is involved has a part to play and a decision to make, an input in the community life. And in this instance, it's the family. Okay, quality time, number 9. Quality time is so important, much more than the quantity of time, the quality of the time that is spent. If that time is spent with all of these attributes being engaged, the honesty, the respect, the good nurturing that comes through these good character traits of compassion and mercy and working on issues, growing, studying, you know, and building a life together, you know, that's quality time. That's quality time. And with quality time, you know, it's the quantity of time, you know, takes a back seat. The quality time is very important. Making time for each other. As Bina says, check in with each other. Don't just walk past each other in the house or in the room and not acknowledge that you're there. But spend that quality time together. And then number 10, generosity. Generosity. Be generous. Be generous with what you can give that is good from yourself that don't cost you anything, that you're rewarded for the generosity that you give to another person, this sadaqa. All of these good characteristics that you give in this relationship, be generous. Be generous with those things. Don't hold back. Even if you want to hold back, don't hold back. You know, be generous. Now, we went over all this to preference the next chapter. Okay, which was, how do you get to know spouse? And this is very crucial and very important, and I'll try to sum this up really quickly so we can go into our next segment of tonight's program. When you get in the same space, when we get in the same space after the nikah and we're married, you are going to meet the person that's been protected, and that's going to be the child that has been disappointed. That's going to be the person who has safeguarded their shortcomings, going to be the person that is afraid of failure. That's going to be the person that may have insecurities that they hide. There may be the person that is afraid of intimacy. That's the person you're going to be confronted with, regardless of who you have seen or who you have talked to during the courtship process. When you are in the same space now and you're living together, you're going to meet that inner person. And you're going to have to deal with that inner person. And if you haven't, and if we have not introduced the other person to that inner person, then we may have done ourselves a disservice. And many times people just are not, I don't want to say brave, but they're just not in a space that's secure enough outside of this committed relationship and this marriage to just really let the guard down and present this person to you. So then the question now becomes, can this new spouse that I have love me in spite of my trauma? Can they love me in spite of my insecurities? Can they love me in spite of my shortcomings? Once they really get to know these things about me and see behind the curtain, so to speak, can they be compassionate enough? Can they be empathetic enough, kind enough to love me and want to be with me in my most innocent state or in my most vulnerable state? Can I trust them with myself in this way? And this takes time. This takes time. And we have to know that this takes time. And it's not something you're just going to expose, boom, here it is. That you're going to learn slowly and the relationship is going to evolve, you know. So it's important for us not to just open up with all the negatives that we've had in life and just dump this on someone, you know, but that we continue this process of discovery with each other with compassion, mercy, respect, love, being committed, being truthful, honest, seeking to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah's guidance, looking at Prophet Muhammad's example, okay, knowing that we're not everything to each other. Allah is everything to both of us. We don't have to be everything to each other because we depend on Allah to be everything to us. But narrow down those things that a person can do or you expect that you can appreciate and vice versa. Take it in small steps. Let it evolve. Be patient with the process. Be patient with the process. You know, so how do you get to know your prospective spouse? When we go into a relationship, we have to be secure enough with who we are, first to know that we are enough. We are enough. We're not coming in totally broke down in a relationship. You know, we all have some things to work on. We have improvements that we need to make. But, you know, Allah has blessed us all with something, some gifts that we have. And we have a life to share with someone. we have a life to share with someone. So no one should look at another person and say, oh, you're not this, you're not that, you're not this, you're not that. Allah tells us we don't address each other that way. We don't say, thou art none of a believer. Because why? We're all striving, right? We are all striving on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. We're all striving, seeking Allah's blessings, seeking for Allah to elevate us, seeking to help elevate others, seeking to learn more, become more knowledgeable. We're all striving. We're all works in progress. So we don't discourage each other by making any kind of blanket statements about what you're not, because you don't know what they're not. You know, another person can be better than someone who's saying that on so many levels, you know. So who are we to judge each other? But we focus on the things that we truly like about a person, the things that drew us together, you know, and we focus on the good things. We can have a list of things we don't like, but focus on the things that are good, the things that we like about each other, the things that we can build on, okay, because otherwise we're going to just be disappointed. So getting to know your prospective spouse means you have to be comfortable in your own skin with who you are and how you can expose who you are to someone else, and then you will know when another person can expose themselves to you. If you're confident enough to expose those things about yourself, they should be confident enough to expose those things about you. And then what are those things that you think are very important to know? Things that are very important to know. For a man looking at a wife, he may want to know what type of mother she will be to his children. So he may want to get deeper insight into how she was raised, the level of patience, how much she will study, how much she will can manage the home, the household. Okay, if cooking and in eating well is important to him, and nutrition is important to him, he's going to want to know those things. You're going to want to know what's important to you. If being financially responsible is very important to him, maybe he's a businessman and he wants to know that she can be trusted with finances and that they can continue to improve their life, okay? You're going to want to know those things about the person that you're seeking to marry. So each person is going to have things that are pressing that they really want to know about a person to help with that decision. They may want to know how the relationship was with her father, you know, if there was a father present, or what is the relationship that she's had in the past, and how it was dealt with, what example she had. So you're going to have a list of things that you want to look for. A woman may look at a prospective mate and say, what type of provider will he be? Is there abuse in his life? Has there ever been abuse in his life? Has he witnessed abuse? How does he handle conflict? Are there anger issues? Because she can be overpowered in this area of her life because of the physical strength of a man and because of the position that he has. So she may want to be, she wants, well, not she may want to be, she wants to be protected. So she's going to look at these things to try to get to know this person and all these things that are locked inside and the type of trauma that's there, you know. Is there a commitment there? Is the person going to stick and stay, or are they going to run? They're going to just, you know, be out in the wind, you know. You're going to look at this person in light of those things that are very, very important to you. So you have to determine, what those things are. You know, those things that are very important to you that, you know, I can work with following Allah's guidance and the example of Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. We can love just about anybody, but can we work with anyone? And the things that prevent us from working with anyone and just about anyone are these things that may be triggered, things that may diminish the value of the relationship because the level of compatibility about these things are not present. So when we want to get to know a prospective spouse, these are the areas that we want to get to know, what we want to get to know. Because all of us should love each other for Allah's pleasure anyway. You know, we start out that way. You know, 100%. I love you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all form a part of this community. We all form a part of the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. And I am obligated to keep the peace. I am obligated to greet you with peace and vice versa. I'm obligated to give freely of the things that I love. I'm obligated to uplift. You know, we have these obligations on us towards each other anyway. These things build love. These things build love. We love it so much when we go to Juma and see all the believers and get our hugs and everything, and we're in this environment. So the love is built. The love is there. But can I work with this person to build a life? Are these ingredients present? So this is how we have to get to know each other as prospective spouses. And this is what we have to prepare ourselves to see. If someone valuing your mental contribution, your spiritual makeup, your financial contribution, if someone having value for you as a human being is high on your list, you have to see that in the spouse you are about to marry. So you have to narrow these things down for yourself. If there has been disappointment, much disappointment in your past, you have to see if this person understands commitment and is willing to work hard to maintain a relationship and solve problems, have conflict resolution. So you have to see these things in your prospective spouse. So you're not going to just, you know, how do I get to know you, you know, and let someone tell you all these things about themselves that don't really matter. Because in the end, you have to know, can we work together? And how can we work together? If everything is not in place, are we willing to learn what we need in order to work together? Are we willing to grow together in order to work together? Because in many circumstances, we have to start out lightly and grow. Start out lightly and grow, just like a new parent, first parent for the first time. We learn, it's on-the-job training. and we learn and then learn, and we, by the time they're grown, and we're grandparents, we're really ready now to make a positive contribution to the welfare of that grandchild because we have a lifetime of learning to share. Okay, so how do we get to know our prospective spouse? Okay, so I said all that to get us to this point. You know, you have to know what you need to know so that you can know whether or not you can work with the believer that you are about to marry to produce a healthy, lasting, mutually beneficial relationship in light of person that you have locked inside your experiences that you don't share with everyone that this person is going to meet? Will it work? Can it gel? And that's what we have to be attuned to seeing. So I'll stop there. And I hope that little monologue was beneficial to us, and it's going to lead us to where we are going to start tonight. And that's where we left off last week, and that's going to be on page 93, the end of chapter 8. And this is to take action on how do you get to know your prospective spouse. So when we come back, inshallah, we'll get started on that. And any comments or statements that you have in light of what's been said, you can press 1 and come into the queue. But we want to see how can we take action on this, how do we get to know our prospective spouse. We need a practical, tactical plan so that we are not in a hit and miss situation. We need to know what we need to know and how we need to know it about a prospective spouse. So, inshallah, we'll be right back with you after these public service announcements. And we're already at the top of our second hour, and we're anxious to hear any comments or concerns that you might have. So please stick and stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage right here on American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. And you're listening live with Sister Munira Habil, your host, and our co-host this evening, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And we'll be right back with you.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
American Muslim 360 is proud to present the Thursday morning edition of A New Day for Al-Islam in America Radio with your host, Yusuf Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360, listenership, Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. We are back. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. And again, I'm your host, Munira Habil, and we have with us our co-host this evening, Sister Bina Muhammad Bia. And we are presenting from the book, Dr. P. Anisa Nadir, Before the Nikah. And if you missed the first part of the show, please access it in the archives. It'll be available later this evening if you like, and you can get caught up on what's been said so far. So we are, Bina, we're at the take action phase of how do you get to know your prospective spouse, okay? So I'd like to turn it over to you, and if you have any commentary or anything you'd like to share to what's been said, please do, and then we'll pick up with this take action, which is very important for us to have some tactical practices in place when we're trying to get to know someone. So the mic is yours, Bina.
Well, you said a mouthful. Oh, my gosh. There was so much, and it was all good. It was powerful. Like you did your homework.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, so in terms of, well, while you were talking, I just wrote down some notes, but I wouldn't go over all of them, just explaining the, well, just talking about, just to add to what you said, because it was all on point. It was very on point about all the things that are expected or in a relationship, and especially the 10 expectations in a relationship. And sometimes people don't know what that looks like. And, you know, it would be helpful if everyone would look up each one of those words that you described in the expectations. As a matter of fact, I missed one of them. I think number 8. What was your number 8 in an expectation? I missed that.
Number 8 was compromise. Compromise. Compromise or shura bena hum.
Okay.
You know, as a system of engagement, that would be shura bena hum.
Okay.
Yeah,
oh,
or
yeah.
Compromise. Yeah.
Got it. Yeah. What all 10 of the items that you listed are so important, and if one were to delve into that, they would have a head start, you know, because it takes a lot to be in a marriage. It takes a lot to be in a relationship. It takes a lot to just get to know who you are. So thank you for all that information. So I have it in my notes, and it's always good to take that and go and to build others, build on it, and have fruitful relationships with other people, and have something to work with when you're talking to people about marriage and getting together and being able to give them some viable information about what they should be doing, what they should be looking for, how they might, you know, want to go about it. So that's really putting the words to the action. So, inshallah.
Inshallah.
We'll start at then page 93, where it says you got to know when to hold, know when to fold them, and know when to walk away, and know when to run. And that's from the Gambler song by Kenny Rogers. So that's the conversation. The first word that I missed is stop. Stop. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, and know when to run. So for the take action portion of this, Dr. Anissa Nadir says she has a profile of your prospective spouse, and she has a quotation, a couple of statements here, and a page where you can just write endless notes. What she says is, take the time to compile the profile you imagine for your prospective spouse. Begin the process here. What are you looking for in your potential mate? And that's the action that she wants you to take after going over the expectations and compatibility and that's from chapter 7 and chapter 8. What was it? How do you get to know your prospective spouse? So after those two chapters, that's what she's asking folks to do, is just to take the time to compile the profile you imagine for your prospective spouse. So did you want to go ahead and start reading chapter 9, or was
In just one minute. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say, as an example, when you create this profile, you know, for myself, you know, I was looking for someone who was not afraid. And afraid is a strong word, who didn't have an issue with the ability to understand a woman and or to love a woman. That was very important, that there were no hang-ups there, because we have been conditioned in a way to fail, unfortunately, in these areas of our lives. And a lot of it is because of the trauma that we have had. Someone who was could be open and just when it comes to this and know that this is a very important dynamic of a relationship. And also knowing that there were going to be some trust issues going into a relationship, but that a person was open to engaging in a way so that that trust can grow, okay? So being realistic in what you are expecting. And another thing that I was important to me is that a person likes me, likes me. We can love each other, but liking each other sometimes takes more effort, you know, just liking someone's company or conversation or a sense of humor, liking to engage or be around someone, that's important too. So these types of things are what you want to put on this list. These types of things are ways you want to really get to know your prospective spouse by those things that are important to you that will make you really open up in a relationship and make you more prone to share, because we can continue to discover things about each other. And it's like mining for gold. You know, you find some and there's more to find. There's more to find. There's more to explore. So what's most important to you? What's going to make you really happy in a relationship where you feel and think that you're getting what you need? Put this list together for yourself so that you have a concrete outline of how you want to get to know your prospective spouse, okay, or the profile of your prospective spouse. And it all starts from within yourself, within ourselves. So I just wanted to make that point. And then we can go ahead and get started on chapter 9.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and a good point it is. Because, you know, speaking personally, I don't think I didn't write down a list. I kind of had it in my head what I wanted. And then it changes over a period of time, I think, based on the experiences that you've had. Knowing that you don't want to really take baggage from other relationships into that, I think there's a place to where you have to be open and be trusting of a law when you're going in with good intentions, because you never know what the other person's intentions are. Even though they're having a conversation with you, they're showing you all types of, you know, good things and the things that you want to see. And you get that a lot at the very beginning in relationships. And sometimes, even if you have a list, it can take you away from what you've written and said you want because you see something else that maybe you didn't think about when you were writing down some of the things that you wanted. But it's definitely a good starting point to have a list, because you want to have something as opposed to nothing. And then that means you're thinking about it, you're having ideas about it, Allah is showing you different examples, even in the things that you've written down. You'll be looking for those types of things. And it's a good thing to be able to have those type of qualities yourself. And like you said prior, is you really have to know who you are, be strong in what you want, to be able to, you know, ask for something with someone else that you have something to bring to the table. It's very important that you know that and you be firm on what you know you have, and don't compromise yourself in going into a relationship where you're given so much of yourself and you lose yourself in a relationship. What you see in the other person is what you really like and what you really admire. So,
That's good information.
Okay, so inshallah, we go to chapter 9. And Dr. P. Anisa Nadir's book, Before the Nikah, Rules and Principles to Help Single Muslims Choose Wisely and Build Strong Marriages. And we're starting at chapter 9 tonight on page 95. And the title of that chapter is Zero Tolerance for Domestic Violence. Zero tolerance for domestic violence is a key before the Nikah principle. Islam prohibits any type of oppression and does not support or justify family violence, abuse, or oppression against women or children. Domestic violence is a form of oppression. According to Alwani and Abu Ghideri, oppression occurs when mercy and justice are ignored. They further state that Islam defines oppression as transgressing limits or boundaries defined by God. It prohibits oppression at all levels of society, from the basic spousal unit to the family, the community, nationwide society, and global society. Islam promotes justice and healthy relationships, as we see in many verses of the Quran and the example of the family life and traditions of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran to stand firmly for justice. While there are those who justify domestic oppression using verses of Quran, they are taking verses and meanings out of context to suit their own ends, in contradiction to the message of Al-Islam. As a community, we have been in a state of denial regarding the existence of domestic violence among Muslims in the U.S. We have been naive and found it hard to believe, in light of the stereotypes and Islamophobia our community has been fighting. However, the horrific murder and beheading of Asiya Zubair, the founder of Bridges TV, by her husband in 2009, sent a shockwave through our collective consciousness, according to Project Subpoena. It lifted the veil that had been over our eyes. If we didn't believe violence existed in the American Muslim community before, we could no longer deny it. Domestic violence is real. The anecdotal evidence and the growing research let us know that Muslims, like Christians, Jews, and other faiths, and non-faith traditions experience this public health crisis. According to the Center for Disease Control, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 10 men will experience intimate partner violence at some point in their lifetimes. That needs to be said again. According to the Center for Disease Control, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 10 men will experience intimate partner violence at some point in their lifetimes. Statistics indicate that every 18 seconds, someone is a victim of domestic violence. Domestic violence occurs without regard to religion, race, age, gender, or sexual orientation, or socioeconomic status. A survey of 801 American Muslims found that 31% experiencing abuse within an intimate partner relationship, and 53% reported experiencing some form of domestic violence during their lifetime, according to Peaceful Families and Project Sakina. Domestic violence shows up in various forms, including physical, emotional, sexual, economic, psychological, and religious abuse. In a survey of 9 domestic violence organizations around the U.S., serving nearly 2,000 Muslim women survivors, executive directors reported that survivors experienced various forms of abuse, including 82% emotional or verbal abuse, 65% financial abuse, 49% spiritual abuse, 74% physical abuse, and 30% sexual abuse, according to Al-Khatib 2010. During your matrimonial search, it is important to be awake and aware. It is important to step into your search with recognition that there are people in the pool of prospects who are not kind, loving, and empathetic. While there are certainly kind, loving, compassionate people in the pool, there are people who are oppressive, unkind, hurtful, manipulative, and narcissistic. Most of us don't want to believe it, but we have to take the blinders off and choose wisely. What can you do to prevent going into an abusive, oppressive marriage? Number one, be aware of the warning signs or red flags of intimate partner violence. Two, learn and practice skills that promote positive, compassionate, loving relationships, as in positive communication skills, positive coping skills, conflict resolution skills, mutual consultation, and problem-solving skills. Three, develop your E-man. develop internal God consciousness, or your taqwa within. 4, learn to recognize the green flags and put the positive behavior into practice. 5, implement the steps in the before the Nika vetting process. 6, utilize your marriage support team to vet prospects for potentially abusive behavior. 7, participate in a marriage preparation course. 8, participate in a premarital counseling to assess readiness. And 9, choose wisely. It is important to study the red flag warning signs so that you are able to recognize them in your prospective spouse. Red flag means stop. Seeing a pattern of any of these signs is a warning to not continue with the relationship. What are the red flags or warning signs that may indicate that someone is abusive? Below are some of the warning signs you will want to look out for before marriage, during courtship. They are: manipulates the truth, being insincere, being invasive, having an arrogant, being arrogant and never wrong, having a self-centered, lack appreciation for others' perspective, ethnocentric, holds a grudge, lacks empathy, possessive or jealous behavior, controlling behavior, using force to resolve problems, severe mood swings, expressing rigid ideas about gender roles, minimizing abusive behavior, gaslighting, or manipulate someone psychologically to question their own sanity, not wanting you to consult your marriage support team, keeping you up all night even though you have work or school the next day, and love bombing, B-O-M-B-I-N-G. I'm not sure what that is, but we're coming across it. Additional red flag warning signs you may see during marriage. So that was during the courtship. This is during marriage. Taking your money or refusing to give you money for your expenses. Preventing you from working, going to school, or participating in hobbies or activities that you enjoy. Preventing or keeping you from seeing friends or family. Constantly criticizing and demeaning your parental skills. Threatening to take away your children. Those sources are from peacefulfamilies.org. So below are some of the green flags you want to see. Let you know, below are some of the green flags you want to see to let you know you can continue forward cautiously. Look for a consistent pattern of behavior around this behavior. Once is not enough. You want to see signs over a span of time and various experiences before you commit to marriage. So here are some green flags. 1, taqwa, God consciousness. 2, trust. 3, honesty. 4, authenticity. 5, consistency and integrity. 6, clear and safe communication. 7, accountability. 8, humility. 9, self-awareness and personal insight. 10, maturity. 11, forgiveness. 12, empathy. 13, appreciation of diverse cultures and traditions. 14, encouragement. 15, supportive. And 16, sincere concern for your health and wellness. Consider the story of Sister Halima. Sister Halima is a mature sister who arrived in her new city, having left her business and family to start her new life with her soon-to-be husband. When she arrived, she was happy and looking forward to marriage and living in her new home. Sister Halima was a smart, stately, self-assured woman when she arrived. She had owned her own business and was well-connected at home. However, by the time she was able to get out of the marriage, she had such hope for. She was emotionally broken, and her teeth had been knocked out from domestic abuse. She was devastated financially, emotionally, and spiritually. The thing is, he was known for abusing women, but no one told her. She didn't find out the person he was until after she married him. She might have decided that they were not a good fit for each other, but she wasn't given the opportunity to make that choice. She was not able to make an informed decision. He wasn't honest, and neither were the people who introduced them fully open and honest about the kind of person he was. What might have been some red flags for our sister? What could have been done to prevent the devastating outcome? Stop is the name of this. It says after that. The era of narcissism. The past 5 years have been referred to as the era of narcissism by Dr. Ramani Dirfsula, a well-known licensed clinical psychologist and expert on the subject. During this time, we have witnessed a consistent rise in narcissism and narcissistic behavior. Most of us didn't know what it was, even though we had some of the behaviors. Even though we had seen some of the behaviors, we didn't know what to call it. Because this behavior is becoming more prevalent and is another level of abuse, it is important to be aware of how narcissistic behavior reveals itself. It is also important to look out for it in your matrimonial search process and to give yourself adequate time and a variety of situations in which to observe your prospective spouse. Dr. Ramani defines narcissism as a consistently toxic pattern of characterized by entitlement, grandiosity, thank you, lack of empathy, validation seeking, superficiality, interpersonal antagonism, insecurity, hypersensitivity, contempt, arrogance, and poor emotional regulation, especially rage. Narcissism is an interpersonally toxic pattern. Consider the story of Tariq and Zoraida. Tariq called Zoraida one day, seemingly out of nowhere, via WhatsApp. Since she didn't know him, she ignored the call. He didn't speak English and she didn't speak Arabic, so she continued to ignore the call. But Tariq was persistent and even got a friend to translate for him and convinced Zoraida to speak with him. He was charming and humorous and up on current events in the U.S. He told Zoraida that a mutual friend recommended her to him and suggested that they would be right for each other. She was hesitant but committed, but continued to talk to him as he learned English. He asked her not to take him for granted. He seemed kind and caring and able and ready to enjoy marriage to a successful professional woman. In their conversations, she explored his interest in moving to the U.S. since she was not willing to leave her career and move to his home country. He seemed to be the real deal, loving, attentive, easygoing, family-oriented, attractive, and practicing Islam in a balanced way. So within 4 months, after asking all the questions and getting all the right answers, Zoraida flew to Egypt with her aunt Sarah to meet his family. While she was there, they did the nikah ceremony with her father and mother over Zoom. The day after the nikah, the mask began to peel off. He revealed he was in a car accident and sustained a head injury. He also said he was in the middle of a lawsuit and got frequent headaches. He became controlling and would not respect her work and sleep schedule. His angry temper, lack of empathy, and gaslighting began to reveal itself. Zoraida questioned the relationship but believed him when he said he was sorry. And she hoped for the days of the loving Tariq to return. He assured her that he was just stressed, but once he moved to the U.S. and they got settled, everything would be just fine. He arrived. They married in 90 days under U.S. law in a nice wedding with a few of their friends and family. They submitted the paperwork for his green card. When he received his green card, he flipped and started distancing himself. It became clear that Tariq had love-bombed Zoraida to obtain his green card so he could settle in the U.S. Zoraida didn't realize how someone who was so loving over the past 4 months could change so profoundly. This story reveals the existence of narcissistic behavior, which Zoraida had not been familiar with. She had heard presentations about the cycle of domestic violence, but she had never learned about narcissism, the importance of giving behaviors time, observing behavior in a person over seasons, conducting a thorough background check, and not engaging in confirmation bias became apparent as lessons from this story. How to recognize red flags and narcissistic behaviors are lessons you want to learn without going through this experience personally. Zoraida also learned that some seemingly religious people are dishonest and use the immigration system to meet their needs. Certainly, this is not the case for everyone. That is why you want to pray Ishtikhara prayer and do your due diligence. Trust your intuition and rely on Allah to guide you to what is best. It is also important to give the relationship time and work with your marriage support team to take your prospect through the vetting process.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Alhamdulillah. Oh, that was so sad. Now we learned what love bombing is.
Yeah, we learned what love bombing is. You know, so you know, and this information is shared not to be discouraging in any way, but to know and identify the social climate that we are in right now in 2023. Unfortunately, who have been living through conflicts, through wars, through COVID, through isolation, through all kind of unnatural, unhealthy circumstances in this world, ongoing oppression. We have conditions present that don't facilitate healthy emotional stability and wellness for the human being. And we're navigating through all of this. So knowing how these present-day climates are affecting people, affecting humanity, and it says in the last 5 years this idea of narcissism has grown and they see more evidence of it. That means that, you know, the human being is being influenced out of their natural natural state as Allah has created us, the peaceful, balanced state that Allah has created us in. So we have to be conscious of these things. We're not in an isolated bubble where these things are not affecting us as human beings. So better to recognize it in the beginning and know how to look out for these things rather than become someone who becomes a victim to these processes and end up getting hurt or worse because of it. Okay, so we have a caller in the queue. We're going to go to our caller, and we're going to welcome them to the show. We're going to 347-751 and going to greet you with the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum, and welcome to It's All About Courtship and Marriage. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Mr. Hassan Abdul Salam.
It's one of my favorite programs on AM360.
Alhamdulillah.
Sometimes lingering in the wings, well, with my ears just percolating, trying to listen to some of the information and wisdom that you share on your program. This is a critical program because it has so much to do, you know, as a woman, I say this, with the evolving relationship. And since personal relationship, community relationship, human relationship are so much a part of our daily life, the first word that jumps into my head, it two words, is be careful. Be careful. So I was appreciating, was that Sister Bina?
Yes.
Yes,
okay. Sister Bina Muhammad Bia.
Assalamu alaikum, dear. How are you?
Alhamdulillah.
I was really eating up what you were reading as that checklist. And it was interesting to me that you were talking about the red flag and the green flag. And as you were going through the order of describing what to really take issue with when you discover it, some of those items that came at the end of your list, I realized would have been first on my list. So the question came to my mind, and this is what I would love some insight on, is the social acuity of the individuals who are looking for a mate. Number one, have they really individually, independently gone into their own motivation for wanting to be mated at a particular time? Have they used this phrase? Have they talked to Allah about, Allah, am I ready? Or just, you know, where do I stand before I even talk about uniting with someone? And how socially, their social acuity, do they socialize enough in diverse environments to really have a healthy development of their own intuition about people, their personalities, their traits, whether they're masking or pretending or genuine, authentic. It seems that there may be a lot that caution could provide safety with if we just look initially at the social aspect, where you engage, where this person was introduced to you, what was the background of those people, even though you may know them, what are their priorities and what are they looking for? And just the precursor, I guess, kind of work that I'm talking about before we even consider the possibility of marriage. Now, this is somewhat of a hazard because we find that people's cautiousness, they experience sometimes long-term periods of being unconnected or not having a candidate that they would consider in the marriage possibility or potentiality. So out of my question, is there any wisdom, any information you can share with me on an advisory level as to, you know, where we need as individuals to be in our social consciousness? I'll stop right there.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you for that question. It's a very timely question. Very timely question. And one of the things we talked about, don't believe is maybe last week, but we've talked about it recently, is and before, the importance of the Wali and looking at strategic processes. It's very, very important that a person is vetted prior to you engaging in courtship with them, just as our fathers did before they let someone, our grandfathers and great-grandfathers did before they let someone talk to their daughter. You had to go through that father. This was a vetting process that was established for us culturally to get permission to even talk to the daughter. And the father would size someone up, know who their parents was, knew how they were raised, knew the activity of the family, all these things. And this information happened prior to courtship. It's important that we get back to that. And it's very important that we do establish these marriage success teams. We don't want to walk this path of Nika alone. We need a team of people helping us, a community of people helping us with this. And it can be family, friends, loved ones, grown children, isolating all those things that are important and figuring out how to look at those things that are important for the safety and mental, emotional, spiritual health of both parties and the future relationship. This vetting process should take place before courtship because we get, you know, the heart and the love that we have to give in a relationship is given many times very freely, and sometimes it's things that we don't control. We just love a person, and sometimes we love a person for in spite of, you know. Mm-hmm. And so it's important that we start to vet people prior to courtship so that time is not wasted. Energy is not wasted. Resources are not wasted. We can't get the time back. All the feelings and entanglement of feelings you have about a person that happened over the courtship and now have to be unraveled. We want to get to a place where that's not happening. So getting our systems in place so that we can vet people prior to, in light of today's social climate, circumstances, and what we're dealing with in the global perspective of the world, is very important that we adopt practices to handle this and manage this, especially if you're talking about going with someone from a different culture, from a different part of the world, someone that you know nothing about, a complete stranger, you know, doing this alone, we can't do that anymore, okay? We have to be wiser, more practical about how we operate. And in Surah 4, Ayah 83, An-Nisa, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah tells us when there comes to them some matter touching public safety or fear, they divulge it. If they had only referred it to the messenger or to those charged with authority among them, the proper investigators would have fallen into the clutches. I had my eyes dilated today. I've been having some issues with my sight. Okay. But Allah is telling us in this ayat that the proper investigators should handle situations. Okay. Yeah. So this tells us that we should investigate. And the same in Ayat 94, same surah, An-Nisa. You know, Allah instructs us to investigate carefully. And in this instance, we don't say to a person that thou art none of a believer or put someone down in any way, but Allah instructs us to carefully investigate concerns and people that we are about to get involved in, you know. And many of us in this day and time have the attitude, oh, alhamdulillah, this is a believer. I trust you. I love you for the sake of Allah and the expectations of a believer and everything like that. You know, we act like we're in paradise already, and we don't have to be concerned about public safety. We don't have to be concerned about being defrauded or misused in any way. We don't have to be concerned about these worldly concepts. But we do have to be concerned about them. We have to investigate carefully. The life is to be protected, respected, uplifted. Yeah. Okay? So this requires us to be more tactical, to be more systematic, to have systems in place to engage with. And in this climate, in this social climate, birth certificates need to be checked. What gender were you born as? You know, all these things that we live with daily that we're faced with in the news. Have you been abused? Have you been molested? All these things, you know, that we are faced with in our present day world, social climate, we have to investigate. We have to have structure when it comes to courtship and marriage so that the innocence of our young sons and daughters can be protected and they can get off to a good start. And the innocence that we have as seasoned believers, you know, we try to return to our original innocence every year, you know, during Ramadan. That also has to be respected and secured. You know, we're not to be molested by being defrauded or tricked or, you know, and things like that. So these community concerns, things that affect public safety, things to that affect our sacred institutions, we are obligated to investigate and to protect them and uphold them. So these are things that we have to work with. So I'll stop there.
Munira, alhamdulillah. Which you said that was Surah 4, Ayat 83.
Surah 4, Ayat 83 and Ayat 94 of An-Nisa. Surah 4.
Okay, if you want, I can read that for you, as I know you.
Okay. Yes, I appreciate
it. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. When there comes to them some matter touching public safety or fear, they divulge it. If they had only referred it to the messenger or to those charged with authority among them, the proper investigations would have tested it from them direct. Were it not for the grace and mercy of Allah unto you all, but a few of you would have followed Shaitan. And that was Surah 4, Ayah 83.
And, uh-huh.
Yes, and now I'll go to Ayah
94.
94, okay.
Did you find it?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. I instead of just doing it with the typing it in like I should have, I had to scroll and I'm on my phone, so it's taking forever to get to it. But I'm here now. O ye who believe, when you go abroad in the cause of Allah, investigate carefully and say not to anyone who offers you a salutation, thou art none of a believer. Covering the perishable goods of this life.
Coveting,
thank you. The perishable goods of this life with Allah are profits and spoils abundant. Even thus were ye yourselves before, so Allah conferred on you his favors. Therefore, carefully investigate, for Allah is well aware of all that you do.
Alhamdulillah. And these ayahs address specific incidents, and they also relate to us a rational way of thinking about safeguarding the community life. Now, a matter concerning public safety, this dealt with our mother Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, and the rumors that were spread about her. And it should have been given over to the investigators instead of being broadcast in the community, causing disruption, chaos, causing ill feelings, causing hurt, causing pain. This tells us also that we all have a responsibility to respect the community life, to respect the community life, keep order in the community life, make sure no one is wronged or misaligned or slandered in any way or hurt or harmed in any way by doing the proper investigations and protecting each other in the community life. So that means people who have suffered the hands of violence through domestic violence, and people know a person has these issues and don't say anything, they're adding to this chaos of community life. People who disregard the marriage vow and use it, treat it as something that is not sacred, that is not a sacred trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's affecting and touching public safety and having an adverse reflection on the community life. So we have specific meanings for the surah, but we also have higher meanings for the surah as the principles and thinking that we should establish as far as the community life goes. Investigate carefully. We don't take for granted that we are in paradise already, you know, that we have to be aware of our environment, aware of who we're dealing with. You know, we have to take the necessary precautions to protect ourselves, each other, and what we are establishing in the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon us. So we have to look at our religion in light of our present-day circumstances as well, and put things in place to protect the community life. So I hope that makes sense. And if I have said anything wrong, that's on me. And anything that I've said that is good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar.
Amen.
The interview before you go on to another caller, perhaps. This is very, what you're saying is so essential. I am just, you know, I know that this recording, this program will be in the archive after the program is finished, so we can go back and rehearse these very essential cautionary advice that you are giving. It is so wonderful because, you know, one of the things that I do is work as a life coach, a health and wellness coach. And what's offered in the coaching of that is opportunities for transformational growth, right? But one of the most difficult things in terms of charting a course for transformation is to bring the client to a status of understanding where they really are.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
And where they're going, what is their starting point. And many times, because of trauma, many human beings have been visited by trauma in their life at different ages, is that we are unaware of the impact of prior trauma in our life and the need to reconcile that, bring it out, unearth it, so that we can start with a clean slate.
A clean slate and return to our innocence, inshallah. Yeah. So I have another caller. I've got 3 minutes left, so I'm going to try to get to them. But please, if you'd like to finish any comments, please call us back next week and we can pick back up on this. So thank you so much for calling in and for your contribution to tonight's program. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. We're going to go to 334-419. Assalamu alaikum to you and welcome to the show. Please give us your name and where you're calling from.
Alaikum assalam. God's peace be with you. Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida.
Alhamdulillah.
Thank you for your program. And I wanted to add to the great utility of the Quran benefiting us in our relationships when we're able to see ourselves in the Quran. There's a hadith. You mentioned Lady Aisha radiallahu anha. She was under persecution from slander, and she recalled the trials of Yusuf, the Prophet Yusuf, alayhi salam, that she saw herself in those trials of her being slandered, Prophet Yusuf being slandered. And that is a great value in the Quran, when we can see ourselves in the scripture, in the narratives. And I'll stop there.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much for bringing that to the forefront of tonight's program. You know,
thank you.
And it's very useful information. We appreciate it. Alhamdulillah. Yeah. So we have our instructions. We have our sacred revelation. Allah is instructing us and guiding us at every point of difficulty that we have in our life. We have a solution, and we have a model that Allah has given us and our Prophet Muhammad, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. So we have to use our resources. We have to be wise. We have to protect each other. We have to protect the community life like our lives depend on it. We have to make a positive contribution to the ummah of Prophet Muhammad and not take it for granted and treat it as a sacred matter, inshallah, and have a sacred unit. We, my husband, DeLacy, dwells on this topic of this sacred unity, This sacred unity means we have each other's back. We protect each other in all that is good. We uplift each other, and we work together to produce the good result, inshallah. Okay? So, Bina, you have any comments that you'd like to make for tonight's program?
Oh, no, ma'am. You said it all. It was a great program, and thank you for allowing me to be a part of it with you.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. So we're going to ask you to tune in tomorrow morning for this show that is on here every Wednesday morning.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
And we're going to end the show with our favorite song, Brother Wali Ali, Fearing Thee. And if the program cuts off, I extend to you the greetings of peace, of assalamu alaikum. Thank you for being here with us this evening. Inshallah, we'll pick back up on these important topics right here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage next Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please stop by, spend some time with us, and bring a friend, inshallah.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, yeah. What made him brave enough to go out and face the world? A country man came up from the dead, made his home on the sweet earth down here. Loved him deep, made him love enough to go out and face the world. Making a life believe, a creature of fear, performing dry tears, loving thee, made him love enough to go out and face the world, go out and face the world, sweet talk this evening, her brought him to never count him out. Faith wins over doubt. Poor lost sinners, poor squires are winning. Fearing thee, what made him brave enough to go? Loving thee, loving thee, what made him brave enough to go? Fearing thee, fearing thee, was what made him brave enough to go out and face world.
Brave enough to face the
world. A country man dear came up from the rear.
Loving
made his home on the sweet earth down here.
Fearing
never caught him up. They went over down. Firmly maybe they make it in like
all the Lord to face
in the life of thee. Oh, 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 yeah.
Love enough to face the world.
A country man dear came up from the rear.
Loving
made his home on the sweet earth down here. Never cared about first friends of a doubt. Paul one face to one.
Alhamdulillah, we fear Allah in all things, and in all things we fear displeasing Allah. So join us again next week right here on It's All About Courtship and Marriage as we strive to get this process down and established so that we can succeed in the ummah of Prophet Muhammad and family life and community life. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to you all, and may Allah bless us all with a productive week going forward. Assalamu alaikum.